Good morning. This is Phil, and I'd just like to say, first of all, welcome to the call, and we're very welcomed here in Kansas City. We're off to a good start for our meeting. We have a record attendance. We have over 125 buyers from around the world who are here in the Midwest looking at farms and looking at ranches and looking at processing facilities and having a direct look at our whole infrastructure as far as production, which not only produces quality meats that we produce and send around the world, but they also understand the safety and the quality assurance programs and safety assurance programs that are associated with this. So we're always privileged to have the buyers here, and I think it's always a real treat when producers and a lot of the people who really fund this organization and back it are able to meet with the people who buy the products. And so it's a great symmetry that we have going here at this meeting. I would say that if we take a look at the first quarter and we consider some of the challenges that the industry faces at this time, we've done very well in the export picture. I think if we just start with beef alone, if we just take a look at beef and beef variety meats, we're up about 11% in volume and we're up about 9% in value. I think this is a very strong accomplishment. When you take a look at the total, when you include variety meats, it's about 8% in volume and then about 15% in value. So it's pretty significant. And the key markets that we're basically enjoying right now would be the Mexican market. And of course, Chad will talk in more depth about Mexico. But when we take a look at the NAFTA countries, and of course, this is the 20th anniversary of NAFTA, and the fact that two of the most consistent markets over a long period of time for the last 20 years have been Canada and Mexico, I think it's a testament that when we do trade agreements, and we do these free trade agreements, and they're done right, it really can be beneficial for the industry long term. And it's been also been very beneficial for Canada as well as also for Mexico from that standpoint. Japan, as you know, last February, went to 30 months from the 20-month level, and of course our exports to Japan were up considerably last year, our leading market, and it's become our leading value market, and we're up about 20% this year as well, so for the first quarter. So I think the Japanese market is performing, I think, quite well for us. I think another market that Joel Haggard, that's always doing well for us, it seemingly is that whole greater Hong Kong, China area. We're seeing, again, sizable growth in that area. And also in his area, we're starting to see a tremendous amount of growth in the ASEAN region, and he'll talk about that in more depth as well. And I think the picture is also equally as bright when we take a look at pork. If we look at our portfolio for pork for the first 3 months of this year, we're up 11% on volume and 11% on value. Again, when we take a look at the leading market, again, the NAFTA countries, especially Mexico, is doing very well. They're up about 22%. Japan, who has had some challenges in the last couple of years where our exports have actually kind of tapered off a little bit, the first quarter it's performed very, very well. So we're seeing, I think, considerable growth in the Japanese market. We're seeing considerable growth in the Central and South American markets. We're also seeing, again, in the ASEAN markets, again, growth also from that standpoint. So as we look around the globe, we look around, I think, at the opportunity areas. There's other ones I haven't touched on, but our directors will touch on these. But I would have to say that, you know, this doesn't mean that it's been very easy. I think two concerns that we have here right now is paucity and price. There's just the paucity. We know what's going on in the pork industry. There's many challenges there from the production side. There's many challenges, obviously, that translate into higher prices. And, you know, these markets internationally are sensitive to this. But also, we have to remember that one of the reasons I think our exports are up is that a lot of these markets are import dependent. They have to have the product. And so even though the price sometimes becomes high from their standpoint, and it's high from our standpoint if you're a consumer, they do have to buy that product, and they will buy the product, so they depend on the product, and so that's very, very important. But price and paucity, if you talk about the two P's, are probably two of the biggest challenges that we face. I think another thing that's going on that we all have seen in the news, we've been watching very, very closely, is the TPP negotiations. These negotiations have been going on, actually, looking back since almost a decade now, a little more than a decade, started by New Zealand and Singapore and Brunei and Chile. And of course, it's grown into something pretty substantial. And of course, a year ago, last July, when Japan joined, it became a very important negotiation. And obviously, 40% of global GDP and 30% of global trade now is involved in TPP group of 12 countries. Obviously, with Japan just being a new entry, or not even being in it a year, it's hard for Japan to move as fast as we would like them to move. I think Japan has moved a long ways. We still think that there is more to come. We do know this morning that the talks in Singapore progressed, but as far as anything that's being announced, it is not. There's nothing being announced except that they will plan on meeting again in July. That's when our Minister Froman, as well as Minister Amadi from Japan, will be meeting again. I think there's a sense of urgency to try to get it done in July as much as possible. But it's being reported that because of the tremendous number of tariff lines and the size of this whole thing, and also the other countries that are involved, a lot of attention has been focused on the U.S.-Japan negotiations, but there's also other countries from the standpoint of Canada. There's issues with dairy, there's issues with sugar, there's many, many other issues that are involved, and so it's probably going to take longer. There is, of course, the recognition of the elections coming up in November. I mean, all these things play into the politics of trade as opposed to just the trade alone. But we're following this very closely, and we expect, hopefully, very meaningful outcomes both for the beef and for the pork industries here. I think another thing that I would just touch on very briefly, and again, our directors will talk about this, is what we're starting to see is really intense competition in these markets. For the most part, for my career, especially focused in Asia to some degree, we have not seen much in the past European encroachment. There was an agreement in 1985 with John Kerin, the minister from Australia, and I think the clerk was a gentleman from Europe, but the Europeans would not really get too involved in Asia. That's all changed now. And what we're seeing is a very aggressive approach by the Europeans, especially in North Asia, an area that we've really been very involved in. And so I think competition, though, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in many of these other areas, it's becoming much, much more intense, and that's something we have to deal with. So I think with that, I'll stop right here. Our directors will definitely talk about some of the challenges they face in their respective markets, the competition, and what the outlook looks like in their market specifically. Thank you.